Thursday night football, Steelers and Browns in Cleveland. We know what's happened there in the recent past. We'll see how it goes this time around for both teams who are trying to find themselves after losses last week. It's a Thursday night game, so that means it's on Prime Video. Every Thursday night football game you can find on Prime Video. This Thursday in Pittsburgh, it's on Channel 11 if you want to watch locally, but also throughout the rest of the season on Prime Video. Beginning at 7 o'clock every week, TNF Tonight. If you're a Prime member, you can access the stream on the Prime Video app or your phone, your tablet, your connected TV across hundreds of devices and Amazon.com. And if you're not, you can sign up for a 30-day free trial. Joining us right now to talk about Browns and Steelers and things across the league, Thursday night football news analyst Michael Smith. Michael, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. Great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
So you get an early divisional rivalry, AFC North, Steelers-Browns. One that I imagine a lot of folks are looking forward to covering is Prime takes over the Thursday night package. How's it been so far?
I mean, so far so good. We could not have asked for a better opening matchup between the Chargers and the Chiefs in that game. Had a bunch of storylines going into it and coming out of it. And it was a hard-fought game and a raucous crowd at Arrowhead, as always. It's redundant. Raucous crowd at Arrowhead. Yeah, no stuff, Michael. And we expect the same thing here in Cleveland. I really thought, and this goes to show you about the NFL, like you never get ahead of yourself. You cannot look at the schedule. You cannot think ahead. The words favorable schedule should be outlawed from all NFL conversations, because at the end of last week, I'm thinking, or last Thursday's game, I'm looking ahead to tomorrow night's game, and I'm like, okay, a Thursday night's game, and I'm just like, okay, wow, the Steelers, they get the Patriots, who, you know, we got Matt Patricia, Joe Judge calling plays, you know, they looked awful against the Dolphins. The Steelers could end up 2-0 behind Mitch Trubisky, and then the Browns, they got the Jets coming to town. You know, the Jets at home. I mean, you know, you got Robert Saleh talking about keeping receipts and whatnot after their opening loss to Baltimore. I'm like, well, wait a second. We could have 2-0 Browns for the first time since 1993 hosting the 2-0 Steelers, you know, like on Thursday Night Football. Wow, how lucky are we? Because, again, you know, going into the season, you're thinking, you know, or not even going into the season, but it should be, you know, and obviously we know why it isn't, but Deshaun Watson, you know, versus maybe first round pick Kenny Pickett. Instead, all due respect, is Jacoby Brissett and Mitchell Trubisky. But 2-0 is 2-0. And obviously, you know, the Jets and Patriots had different ideas. So no shortage of storylines, no shortage of intrigue, no shortage of tension and anxiety and passion around this matchup, regardless, even at 1-1 apiece.
Well, you were halfway there for at least one team being 2-0, and that was the Browns until about, what, the 58-minute mark or the 59-minute mark?
Yeah, 2 minutes away from 2-0, yeah.
Yeah, and then, boy, it really hit the fan for them in cataclysmic fashion. So why don't we start there as we look at this matchup? Because I think what you got from the Steelers, frankly, in both games is an indication of what they're going to be. Like, when they have Watt, they have a defense that might be good enough to upset a high-quality conference team on the road, and that's what you had in week one with little help from the offense. And then when they don't have Watt on defense, that defense doesn't look as much of a playmaker as it should, and the offense can't carry him to victory. Whereas the Browns, you know, I do think the Browns are good enough to beat the Jets by a couple touchdowns, and then it faded quickly. I think we might have got a truer indication of who the Browns are for 58 minutes of that game. And then the Steelers, well, if that is who they are with Trubisky, then they got problems until Watt comes back so the defense can save the offense.
No, I think that's a great observation. I mean, the reason why, you know, and I spent some time at the Browns facility yesterday in a locker room and with members of the organization, you know, part of the reason why the sky isn't falling in Cleveland, or at least, you know, inside the building, was one, it's just week two, but two, it was correctable, or their issues are fixable. They don't believe it's a personnel issue. They believe it's a communication issue, as opposed to, well, we just are overmatched. You know, they feel like they have the talent, even with Jacoby Brissett holding down the fort at quarterback, they feel like they have the talent to be in every game. And sure enough, you know, as Anthony Walker Jr. put it to me, it's like you could look at it a couple of ways. Like we're 2 minutes away from 2-0, you could also look at it as we're this close to being 0-2, because the same thing happened in Carolina where they let it get too close for comfort toward the end. So if they could clean up their defensive issues in the back end and stop letting people throw the ball over their head, they could be in pretty good shape, and it could be a team that's in the mix when Deshaun Watson returns after his 11-game suspension. We may not know, though, who the Browns truly are this season as an organization, because they're the youngest roster in the league, and of course their franchise quarterback will only be available for the last six. This could be more. This is more of a long game that the Browns are playing. But to your point, the Steelers lack any sort of a long game on offense. So if there was ever a week for a team that's struggling when it comes to preventing big plays in crucial situations to get itself right, it's against a Steelers team that can't make any plays downfield. It's interesting that this is a matchup in more ways than one, because you have the offensive coordinator for the Steelers and the defensive coordinator for the Browns under fire for big plays or lack thereof, as the case may be. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think the Steelers, they're going to have to grind out some games, and if they have Watt, they have a chance. They do seem limited on offense, and that's just who they're going to be and how they're going to have to win, almost in spite of the offense.
Thursday Night Football news analyst Michael Smith is our guest. Watch him on Prime Video in advance of Thursday Night Football, Steelers and Browns. Wanted to get one more Browns thought in before I focus more on
Sure.
the Steelers here, and that is since you have been around the facility, like you said, you've been in Cleveland. How much fallout has there been from Garrett talking about being booed by the fans there in Cleveland? And what'd you think of Chubb as sort of falling on the sword and saying that he should have gone down and taken a knee before he waltzed in the end zone like he did a couple years ago against the Texans?
Yeah, I mean, well, Garrett seems to have bigger issues. I mean, he may not have appreciated the booze, but he's going to have to, be able to make this game with a neck injury, which is, his status is very much in question. Did not practice yesterday, so he may have bigger fish to fry than worrying about his. He may have more. He's got more hurting than his feelings. Let's put it that way. His neck right now is more of a pain than his feelings. But as for Chubb, I think it was a running theme yesterday, and Monday for that matter. And that's the other part. There was more usage of thumbs than fingers, at least outwardly. If there was any finger pointing, nobody saw it, in the outside or in terms of the media or the fans, because everybody took turns saying, "Blame me," whether it was Nick Chubb. Well, and there was plenty of blame to go around, don't get me wrong, but whether it was Nick Chubb, whether it was Amari Cooper for, not recovering the onside kick, whether it was Anthony Walker for not communicating the calls, Denzel Ward, John Johnson, Kevin Stefanski, up and down the list, everybody said, "Hey, it's on me." You know what I mean? Blame me. I take the blame for that. So there was no shortage of people lining up to take accountability for that meltdown. Listen, personally, I think Nick Chubb is at the bottom of the list, because even if he should have gone down and therefore prevented everything that happened after that in the space-time continuum, okay, that's fine. Okay, but you're up 30 to 17. Missed extra point and all. You're up 30 to 17 with 2 minutes left. There's absolutely no reason why they should score, get the ball back, and score again with no timeouts. So, listen, personally, I would have loved to have seen Nick Chubb not score that third touchdown, because my fantasy team would have won. But in reality, that to me was the least of their concerns. That defense completely just gave up way too many big plays, when the only way they could beat you was throwing it over your head and quickly.
I think what you got here in Pittsburgh right now, the problem with them on offense is you've got a quarterback who knows that a first round pick from the school right next door is sitting over his shoulder and could be sent into the game at any point. And I think that's creeping into his head, not only on decisions that he makes throwing the football, but running as well, because whether he gets knocked out due to injury or poor play, if Kenny Pickett gets in and is any good, then Trubisky's not getting in, and his whole reason for coming to Pittsburgh has blown up in his face. So I think he's being cautious, and I think the offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, is being too cautious with him as well. What do you think, watching from a national perspective and talking to people nationally who probably have some observations on the Steelers too?
That's interesting. and I'm, you know, obviously you're closer to it than I am. I wonder if it's just who Mitchell Trubisky is. So if he...
No, I know what you're saying, because I feel a little funny saying that, because it's not like anything he's verbalized. But at the same time, you know, when he was with Chicago, I felt like even on occasion he'd let it rip a little bit more often, or certainly sure. use his legs. Because I wondered a little bit if the whole Mitch Trubisky as an athlete thing was a bit overblown. But when I got here and saw it with my eyes, he can run. He can move.
No, he can. I guess I just wonder, like, so, you know, if we narrow it down, we're talking about basically pressure.
Yeah.
Right? Does he feel like, okay, but he's had so long to deal with that inevitability of Kenny Pickett. Now, it's different when the lights are on and you're playing real games and fans are chanting for Kenny Pickett. But I guess what I'm wondering, you know, in response to your theory is, like, once Chicago moved on from him and, you know, he hit rock bottom, you know, relatively speaking, you know, you're the number two overall pick. You know, the fans of Chicago never really embraced him, especially given who else was drafted that year. He moves on from Chicago. He's a backup in, you know, in Buffalo for a year, signs on with Pittsburgh, knowing that he was never the long-term answer in Pittsburgh. I would think that he would play with a level of freedom, like, okay, I already know what time it is. The writing's already on the wall. I'm a placeholder until they're ready to go to Kenny Pickett. What do I have to lose? At least that's the way I would think he would approach it. But you might be right. Maybe he's looking at it like, this is my last chance to prove myself as a capable starter in this league. And if I mess up, you know, my job is to not lose the game. I got to make sure I don't lose the game. Maybe he's taking that too literally, as opposed to going out and trying to win the game offensively. So maybe there's something to that. Maybe he is looking over his shoulder. I guess if you know what's behind you and it's inevitable anyway, I feel like there should be a level of freedom there. I think it's growing pains. They don't have the best offensive line.
Yeah.
The running game has, you know, he's the type of quarterback, much like Jacoby Brissett in Cleveland. You got to play well around him. And like you said earlier, if they don't have TJ Watt, they're not going to be the type of defense that can force turnovers, where, you know, that can score on defense, that can make game-changing plays, that can give you great field position. So if you don't have the defense going for you, don't have the running game for you, exactly what does Mitchell Trubisky have going in his favor? We know he's not the type of quarterback that can overcompensate and overcome for shortcomings in other areas. Add to that whatever Matt Canada is not doing to put him in the best position to succeed. Add to that it's still relatively new, because I mean, he performed well in the preseason when it was a competition. That's why I just want. I just don't know how much of a
competition it really was. You know.
Okay.
I kind of got the impression the way the Steelers handled it, especially with the other guys in the locker room. Anytime you'd ask him about the competition, you know, that's like, well, we know Mitch is the guy. We're not approaching this in any other way besides Mitch is the guy. And I don't know if they felt like that was just the right thing to do, but.
In order to just protect Pickett and just bring him along slowly.
Mitch, because I think they knew what the outside was looking at. They're looking at the Pick kid who's having a pretty good preseason and saying, "Hey, put him in now. Why not?" Right? And I think.
But let me ask you this from your perspective: yeah. Like, is it, even if it wasn't a competition and the plan was always to play Mitchell Trubisky and it wasn't an actual competition, the way Pickett played could. Do you think that Pickett could have played himself into the job, even if they didn't go into it thinking it's up for grabs? They may have gone into it with a plan in mind. The way Pickett played, or if Trubisky would not have played as well as
yeah,
he did
that last
in
part
camp in the preseason.
That last part. See, I think yes, if you had the combination of Pickett playing as well as he did in the preseason, and if Trubisky mm-hmm. did something to play out of the position, then yes, I guess they could have gone to Pickett, but I don't think Trubisky ever came close to doing that, because any shortcomings that mm-hmm. existed with Trubisky were very easily attributable to the poor offensive line play in front of him. I would mm-hmm. say, though, especially in the game against the Patriots, the pass protection wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. The run blocking still wasn't there, but the pass protection wasn't bad, and the issue of the Steelers moving the ball was much more about, did they take deep shots when they were there and what did they do with them?
Sure.
And that felt to me much more on the quarterback on that Sunday than it was the offensive line for a change.
So you're seeing a quarterback who's just not playing free.
Yeah.
He's not just letting it, not yeah, letting
and
it.
And that might be part of the quarterback. That might be part of the coordinator. I think a lot of it is down in distance, too, because, you know, they don't have the run game that they thought they were going to have with Najee Harris healthy, and he's not behind that offensive line. I think it's all right. coalescing for a tough putt for Mitch Trubisky to start his Steeler career. And for those that want Pickett in there, hey, I saw Ben Roethlisberger go 15-1 like everybody else. But, you know, it's not exactly going to be easy for him to get plopped into this, too, if they decide to make this move, because that Roethlisberger team was much better top to bottom than this Steeler team.
Yeah, he literally could go into it. And because I remember covering that team in 04. He could go into it, and his job was literally to not lose a game. He had Parker and Bettis. He had a defense, as you guys all remember. You know, at the time, him throwing 17 touchdown passes, I believe it was the greatest rookie season we'd ever seen, mainly because of the 50-1 mark. This team is talented. Don't get me wrong. I don't know that Pickett comes in and that he is Ben Roethlisberger. So that's the expectation. Might need to lower that a little bit. But, I mean, who's to say Pickett wouldn't have the same struggles as Mitch Trubisky is? But, you know, I get where you're coming from. I just feel like Mitchell, at this point, should be mature enough to understand what the situation is, you know, and not let that affect his play. If he's going out there playing cautious, it's no different than a coach taking over an organization. It's like if you're going out there trying to be somebody you're not, or trying to do it the way you think somebody thinks you should run the organization, you're going to get fired. So you might as well do it your way. Eventually, inevitably, Mitch Trubisky is going to get benched, you know, short of winning the Super Bowl. Yeah. He's, you know, and even then he's going to get benched. So if you're going to go down, you might as well go down firing.
Well, Michael, we spent a lot of time talking about this game. I didn't get some things nationally. I know as the news guy that's on the desk for Thursday Night Football, that's right in your wheelhouse. So why don't you paint a picture for us nationally? At least one storyline that I'm seizing onto after week two. I tend to do this after week two, the first month. But what are we seeing that's real? Like what we saw from Tua last week in the Dolphins, is that real? The Eagles, where they are, is that real? The Chiefs without Tyreek Hill, I think they are real. Positive and negative stories that leap to mind from the NFL after two games, which ones are you buying into where teams are as good as they look after the first 2 weeks and teams that might be as bad as they look after two?
Great question. Because the second week of the season, 2 weeks into the season, is still very much teams are figuring out themselves. So if they're figuring out themselves, it's pretty tough for us to have it all figured out after 2 weeks, right? You know, nobody really knows anything. And I mean, you know, you mentioned the Bengals. The Bengals this time last year were not looking like they were going to be the class of the conference, by no means. Remember the Rams last year in the middle of the season looked like it was all falling apart, only for them to get right at the right time and win the games they had to. So with the preamble out of the way, I think the Bills are most definitely real. I think it's them and pretty much everybody else in the league right now, just given the way what they have at quarterback and what they have on defense. I think the Chiefs are definitely real without Tyreek Hill. Not that they're not still missing that element of somebody that could take the top off the defense, or somebody that you have to fear on the outside vertically, but I think they have a good enough quarterback, a good enough coach, obviously, good enough coaches, and a complimentary enough defense to be able to win differently than they have in the past few years. I think they're very much for real. I think the Eagles are real. Listen, the Lions, you know, the Lions gave them a run in that first game, but the Eagles, from an offensive standpoint, they can run the ball. Defensively, they're going to get after you. I think they're as complete a roster as there is in the NFC right now. Who else is for real?
What about on the negative end, the Colts, after losing to the Jags to end last year, 9 months off, tying the Texans and losing to the Jags again? In that division, are they really like a team that shouldn't win it? I mean, I don't know who should win that division. Maybe it is the Jags.
I'm still going with the Colts. And, I hate to be somebody that was like, okay, I had such a good – I visited them during training camp. And I was just so impressed with what I saw, not just in terms of their roster, which is a good roster, but also in terms of just the focus of that team. I still believe that Matt Ryan, so far it doesn't look that way, but I do think Matt Ryan is an upgrade over Carson Wentz. Two subpar weeks isn't going to get me off of him yet. I still think they end up winning that division. I do. So I'm going to say that's not real. Same in the AFC North. I don't think the Bengals are an 0-2 team. You know, their long snapper got hurt against Pittsburgh, as you know, and they lost on a walk-off field goal. And then they lose on another walk-off field goal at Dallas. I mean, they're not 0-2. They're 0-1. You can say you are what your record says you are. I get it, Bill Parcells. But the Bengals are not an 0-2 outfit. That's not what they are. So that's not real. Trying to think of somebody who's been good, but is not as good as they seem. Because we talked about people who aren't as bad as they seem. I would say Bengals and Colts are in that category.
Yeah.
Somebody who's
what about the Giants?
I think the Giants are a nice story. I don't think they have staying power. I don't think they're that good. But they're off to a nice start. I think Tennessee, on conversely, I think Tennessee might be in real trouble. You know, I think they've their window may have closed in Tennessee in terms of them being a contender. Can they fight back and maybe make the playoffs? Maybe, maybe. Although no 0-2 team has made the playoffs since it expanded to 14. But I don't see them as a possible contender in the AFC the way they have been the past few years.
Miami, the second best team in the East and one of the top
three. Oh, you mentioned Tua. Mentioned Tua. Yeah, he's not six touchdowns real, but he, I think they're good enough and scary enough to make the playoffs. They got enough. If they can stay healthy, they got enough offensively, and more than anything, what they have after last week is belief. You know, they I don't think everybody in the organization. I felt so good for Tua and for his supporters, because he's had a loud, vocal, at times obnoxious group of supporters over the years who have been riding or dying with this guy. But this organization, let's just recap it if you don't mind. They were supposed to tank for Joe Burrow, not tank for Tua, but tank for Joe Burrow, okay? They have been maligned, and rightfully so, for taking Tua ahead of Justin Herbert. They missed on that one. I'd still take Justin Herbert. Then – of course, tamper with Tom Brady for several years. Yet a large part of the organization that wanted Deshaun Watson. And there's even been, you know, Photoshops and whatnot created for Lamar Jackson. In other words, people have wanted everybody but Tua to quarterback the Miami Dolphins, including people within the organization and within the locker room. And now I think what they have is a belief in him that, hey, we can win games with him. We don't have to win in spite of him. He can win games for us. And so I think that's going to carry them a long way. And I think they're for real. Win the AFC for real? No. I think the AFC's is Buffalo's, barring something catastrophic. It's Buffalo. Buffalo's coming out of the AFC. Over on the NFC side, I think it's Tampa. A defensive-oriented, run-game-oriented Tampa Bay Buccaneers team with enough of Tom Brady for him to ultimately, I'll just give you my whole prediction, ultimately win his eighth Lombardi trophy. Bucks over Bills.
What a heartbreaker that would be for the Bills to work that hard only to get punked by Brady again in a different uniform.
I know, right?
Well, Michael, thanks a lot for this. I greatly appreciate it. It was good having you on the podcast today. I encourage people to watch Thursday Night Football on Prime Video. Of course, not only for Thursday Night Steelers and Browns in Cleveland, but throughout the course of the year. It begins 7 o'clock Eastern on Thursdays. Michael is the news analyst on the show, and he's definitely worth tuning in for, as is the entire crew. I enjoyed the first broadcast, Michael. I'm sure I will for this one and everyone moving forward. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Michael Smith with us here on Breakfast with Ben's at Trib Live.